Welcome to Musing While Cruising. I've been wanting to produce more content, and I'm in the car a lot, driving to various places. Today, I'm on the way back from getting a haircut, so you're seeing me freshly cut and shaved at the wonderful Salon 22 on Essex Street in Lawrence, Massachusetts. Shout out to Ensign and Salon 22. But anyway, Musing While Cruising. I do my best thinking in the car. And, so why don't I just muse while I cruise and we'll talk about stuff. What I've been thinking about lately is trying to figure out the skeptical mind when it comes to the topic of UFOs. Because what I find frustrating in most of my conversations is that there's a certain degree of knowledge which is out there. It is able to be obtained, but a lot of people, some that I engage this topic with, they haven't done any of that initial investigation. So, in order to speak knowledgeably on the topic, well, they're lacking a lot of the data. Furthermore, they want me to convince them of its reality. Sum it up in a few moments, you know, don't make it too long, but, you know, convince me why I should believe this thing, which is hard to do. It's hard to sum up any knowledge base in a short time frame. Take any expert on any topic. It can be a consequential topic or it can be a completely irrelevant topic, but whatever that thing is. Say, okay, you've taken some amount of time to acquire your knowledge. Now, impart all of that knowledge onto me instantly. I don't want to do any of the work. I don't want to do any of the, research or reading or listening or thinking or pondering. I just want it fed to me directly. Give me it all. And when somebody can't do that succinctly, we get upset and we either blame the person or we blame, you know, the knowledge base that it's not legitimate. There's information out there. There have been hearings, briefings and hearings that have taken place in Congress. The most recent was this past July, 2023, during which some extraordinary claims were made. Now one could ask, you know, hey, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. That's what you always hear, right? Okay, but maybe extraordinary claims also require extraordinary research to uncover the secrets of these claims, or, you know, uncover whether these claims are true. I think we've passed the point where we can afford to keep having this discussion about whether something is happening. Something is happening. Whatever that thing is, it's happening. Whatever it is, it's interesting. But if we have to keep having this conversation of bringing everyone up to speed with where we are now, November 2023, before we even get into 2024, we need to bring everybody up to date. Something I do in my UFO talks, by the way, I travel around to different senior centers and libraries and 55 and older communities. Little outfit called Senior U, and we talk about things. I talk about UFOs. I talk about artificial intelligence. We have planned talks on a variety of subjects, so there's a lot there. And as I drive to these gigs, I'll probably muse some more. I'm certainly going to be cruising, so I will muse. You know, musing while cruising. I love that title. I think I really just wanted an excuse to use that title of musing while cruising. The other thing I've been thinking about a lot is my own journey with this topic, which I became interested in, I mean, let's say for the sake of argument, really seriously in the early 90s, right? I probably was interested in it before that, but that's when I got really interested in it. The idea of UFOs, the idea that something could be coming here from somewhere else, right? But in those early days, I liked a very technological perspective on the whole thing, with the notion I was very comfortable with the notion that crafts were flying from someplace in space and somehow making it here. And I wasn't really crazy about anything that left those very comfortable confines. Because that I could understand. The other elements of UFOs, which unfortunately come along with the territory, is it starts to get a little what you'd call the woo. You know, when you get into psychics and ghosts, and even when you get abductions and cattle mutilations and crop circles, it all gets really weird. And initially, I was not comfortable with any of it. Unfortunately, the two are linked. You really can't have a conversation about one without at least touching on the other. Because at times, many UFO encounters, UAP encounters as they're called now, many of these encounters stray into the weird. They leave the comfortable confines of what could be explained by an interaction with an advanced technology, and they almost get, dare I say, religious. And that's something that just is. So I notice there are researchers out there who don't feel as comfortable, and anytime it borders into the weird stuff, they leave it out of their analysis. I get it. I understand the resistance to those ideas, because many of them are really outside of what we've been forced to contemplate before. We haven't had a real reason to think beyond a certain paradigm. It just hasn't come up. Up till now, there really hasn't been a benefit in going down those roads, those more theoretical roads. But they're important. They're important roads to go down. I think one of the main reasons that I discounted the idea of alien abduction initially, one of my main objections to it, was that the thought that something from somewhere else could come in and take someone and do something with them, put them back, and in some cases, manipulate their perception of the thing that was done to them. That's scary, man. That is frightening. That is a frightening possibility. So I understand the reluctance. I totally get why someone would want to pretend that wasn't a possibility, that wasn't a thing that could happen. And I'm not saying it does happen. I don't know that it does. I'm just saying that if you look into the topic of abduction cases, even taking into account that some percentage might be falsified, might be incorrect interpretations of what was going on, might be just pure hucksters trying to defraud someone with a crazy story. Even if you take that into account, the sheer amount of accounts makes it difficult to take them all off the table for one reason or another. It's the volume of evidence. There's not, in my mind, one particular UFO case, UAP case, that is so solid that it proves it 100%. I mean, I guess the closest you could come to that is the Tic Tac event from 2004, only because of the eyewitness testimony from four individuals in the Navy and two separate planes. I mean, that's a pretty strong case. But put that aside and say there is no one case that is such a strong case that it is the game changer. It is what anyone will convince anyone that it's all true. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of little cases that start to build a very compelling argument. But you got to look at the evidence. You can't just refuse to look at it and then say, because I haven't seen it, it doesn't exist. And I think that's a big problem with a lot of our dialogue, particularly on the subject of UAP. There's a lot of people who want to make very strong proclamations that there's nothing to it, without having looked at the evidence at all. Now, in some cases, there are some who do look at the evidence and they have problems with some of the evidence, which is perfectly valid. There's a lot of problems you could have with various parts of the evidence. Especially if you're trying to keep it in a very materialistic, very machines from another planet flying here kind of paradigm, which is the most comfortable paradigm for people. But if you take it outside of that paradigm, take it outside of the fact maybe it's not physical machines, maybe it's something else. Maybe it's a non-human intelligence that is interacting with us in a way that it hopes we can understand it. And part of that interaction is us perceiving encounters with technological gadgets that seem to be more advanced than what we have. I'm just speculating here. This is musing while cruising. I'm not saying this is it. I'm not saying I have the answer. I'm just musing. So what we're seeing is not so much a race of beings from another physical planet that one could fly to if they went enough in one direction, that particular direction in space. Maybe it's more nuanced than that. Maybe, like I said, it's an intelligence that's interacting with us, trying to get us to recognize that it exists so we can then figure out how to have a real conversation with it. That's the trippy part, right? That's the real craziness of it. What if it's just trying to get us to notice it? And it's manifesting, and some are, many are not. The reasons for that are multiple. I mean, we're not looking up in the sky as a people as much anymore. It's just less relevant in our world. I mean, unless you're taking a flight. But we don't really look up in the sky. More often than not, our faces are on the road, as they should be when one is cruising, even if you're musing. They also might be on our devices when we're, hopefully stationary. We're not looking up at the sky as much. So, how many sightings of UAP are just missed because nobody's looking? Some are also, too fast to really be, for enough people to recognize it's happening. It doesn't seem to want to reveal itself in full, which I guess is also the funny part about this, right? The UAP, from the perspective of the technology that UAP seem to represent, they could be very, very overtly noticed. They could hover over a major city for hours and make it so apparent that they are there that there is no denying it. Presumably, if they're also so far advanced of us, they would probably have the ability to be completely undetected, right? I mean, they seem to be able to be less detectable at times, but it seems arbitrary. Or is it? Maybe it's by design. Maybe the design is that sometimes it's detectable on instruments. Sometimes it's detectable by the human senses. Sometimes both, sometimes neither. But maybe that's the point of it. Maybe it's trying to get us as a culture to recognize it. And then do what I hope is happening now, which is sick our best scientific minds on it. Bring them up to speed that something is happening. Something's going on, whatever that thing is. Tell you though, if you're listening to what your elected officials say, I don't know whether you listen to what your elected officials say, but they're not comfortable with the idea that these things could be from here in another nation, because the abilities they seem to possess, well, quite frankly, blow us out of the water. So if it is another human nation, that's the more worrying of the possible scenarios. I mean, if it's, you know, if it's Russia or China, well, that's going to make a lot of people uncomfortable. So what if it's not Russia or China? What if it's something else? What if it truly is a non-human intelligence? By the way, that term, non-human intelligence, it's a nice way of sidestepping the extraterrestrial stigma. And it's used a lot the reverse way by ARRO, the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. Because a lot of times when they make denials about UAP-related things, they will go out of their way to say, we've seen no evidence of extraterrestrial craft in our airspace, let's say. Okay, so what would be required to have evidence of extraterrestrial craft? For one, you would need to know exactly where its origin is to be able to recognize the fact that that is an extraterrestrial point, and therefore they are extraterrestrials. If you cannot say that, and there are other options on the table than just outer space. You may not be aware of them, but they are there. If it is something else, if it is something outside of that, then they can say, quite rightly, that they have no evidence of extraterrestrial craft in our airspace, because they don't. It's a true statement. Words matter. Words really matter to governments and bureaucrats. Words and government bureaucrats the most. Words do matter. The specific word, the specific meaning of that word, and how it's used contextually, that makes a difference. So when they deny, when Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick of ARRO denies extraterrestrials, he's quite right to do so. We have no evidence that that's what they are. We do know something's happening. And whatever that answer is, it's interesting, right? It's an interesting story. So let's find out what it is. Let's determine what the truth is. There's no harm in that. It's okay. And if we have to wrestle with the fact that something is here, a non-human intelligence is visiting us here and interacting with us in some way, if that is true, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, we're going to have to figure out how to reckon with it. Because if it is true, if it's true, it's true. Even if it's not a thing that we would like to be, if it is in fact what is happening, then it really is best that we recognize it, process it, deal with it, and figure out a plan going forward to how we're going to coexist with it. Because again, we do need to consider speculation, I'm just musing here, if there is something, it to some degree has the power to decide whether we live or die. Would it utilize that power? I don't know. But it certainly has it to some degree. To some degree. Do I think they can push a button and obliterate our entire species? I mean, let's hope not, right? But if you thought about it for a few minutes, you probably could figure out a couple ways to do that very easily. As long as you're not affected by those same things. But there's definitely a couple things you could do. So if something, so if a non-human intelligence is interacting with us, and it has some degree of power over whether we live or die, on whatever scale it does, you know, large or small, and we can't do anything about it, we can't stop it, we can't prevent it, we can't seek retribution for it. Wow, it really puts us in a different place historically than where we have been, right? There's a cost to that. There's a weight of that. That even if you don't want to admit it or recognize it, the knowledge itself, the potential that that knowledge is true, really does something to the the human perspective. So it's something to think about, right? I mean, again, I'm not saying that is the case. I'm just saying, that something's going on. That's all I want to get us on the same page of. I don't want to have to keep fighting the battle of whether something is happening. That's a wasted conversation, right? I mean, if we're still having that conversation, if we're still talking about whether something is happening, it's time we're not spending talking about what we should do about it, what we can do about it. I mean, what we're even capable of doing about it, right? Maybe nothing, you know, maybe. Maybe we're powerless. Cruising through Salisbury. Might have to do something about the shakiness of this mount. It's very shaky. There's gotta be a way to stabilize it. Pulling into home base, so that concludes today's episode of Musing While Cruising. Hopefully it'll be something I keep doing. And thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy the new haircut. And till next time, see ya.